Hey, good morning, everybody. This is Rick Jones. I'm standing in for Mr. Howard Partridge, who is on a plane, I believe, right now. I am looking forward to spending this time with you because I am very excited is not the word, I guess. I'm just so committed to what we're going to be talking about today because I think it's probably one of or the second most important thing a leader can do. Very passionate about this, but I want to make sure that you can hear me. So first of all, would you let me know if you can hear me okay? Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that, buddy. All right. Hey, good. Glad to hear that. All right. So we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. First of all, I hope that Howard and them has a safe trip. We've got some nasty weather down here in Houston, Texas. I mean, folks, it's bad. This is all, they said as much rain since that hurricane we had back in 2001 or 3, I'm not sure, but it's bad. I think most folks are okay. It hit some of the neighborhoods that were poor and some that were rich, but it hit a lot of places. I know Susan Schultz had water in her business and who lives here in Baytown, right here, part of Houston, Texas. But everything looks good. We're working. More rain's coming from what we hear, but hey, we'll make the best of it, right? Okay. I don't know about the main office, Sherry, but I'm assuming it's okay because Sugarland's pretty much, most places anyhow, are fairly high up. Woodlands got hit pretty bad. You know, that's a rich place out near the Intercontinental Airport. It's just different parts of the city. They showed a lot of those pictures, which some of y'all might have seen on Fox News, I know had it, of those rescuing those 70 horses. That was an ordeal. But I tell you what, a lot of people are doing a lot of good things to help other folks. All right, we're going to get into the interview guide in a little bit. But before I get into that, I want to go over a couple of things that I feel like are very strong, very critical fundamentals that I want to set some things up here, and then we'll get into the interview guide itself, which is pretty much self-explanatory, but I want to pick some pieces to help them be a little bit clearer to you. And hopefully sometime in the near future we can have, maybe along with this, a two-day workshop on how to really get down, know how to interview people, do role-playing, coaching, to where folks can become really an expert at interviewing because it is a critical skill that every leader needs to have. All right, first of all, I want to say a couple things again to set some things up. Whenever you are going to be interviewing people, a couple things you want to, and you might want to jot this down because this is not in your interview guide. These are some fundamentals that I just took for granted that everybody knew, but I've come to find out that everybody does not know, and I want to be sure it's we make it available to you. First of all, any time that you do an interview, please limit interview topics to the job and the candidate's qualifications for it. Please don't ask questions involving race, religion, gender, national origin, or disability. And also avoid any personal topics such as politics or marital status. Describe the position accurately and avoid making any predictions about your company's financial health. All right? Also, avoid telling your applicants that your business never fires employees or making other statements that could limit your right to change employee circumstances later on. All right, so those are just some fundamental things that I wanted to share with you because some of those has come up in me coaching a lot of folks that are fairly new to our inner circle. So I want to clear that up. But here's a statement I'd like to tell you. Those of you who have small businesses, and some of you very small, you may say, well, I only have one or two people. I don't know how interested in this hiring thing I am. Let me share this, and this is out of an article that just came out, The Fine Art of Hiring People. While in a big company, one bad hire is an issue, and a small business or a startup, It can spell the difference between success and failure. Excuse me, and I've seen that happen. Excuse me, folks, got a little dry throat this morning. All right, we're going to be having a gentleman come to speak in February by the name of Dave Anderson, who wrote the book Up Your Business, 7 Steps to Fail Big and Stretch Your Organization. I read this book, my gosh, I don't know when, it was at least 7, 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, and I want to just share some thoughts, what he said in this, because this guy knows his stuff, and he'll be at our convention, that's my old Carnegie language, he'll be at our Inner Circle conference in February, this coming February. Here's some things that he said that I want to share with you. He said, business is simple, not easy, simple. He said, but it still boils down to having the right people in the right places doing the right things. He said, you can read books on strategy, you can attend courses on corporate vision, but the fact is, I get this folks, but the fact is that without getting the right people on your team, nothing else you do will matter. Your vision is worthless, strategy impotent, and values corrupt without the right people to execute them. All right. Also, he said the catalyst for turning around my business career, and he's speaking about himself here, was when I stopped looking out the window for answers and started looking in the mirror. He said, once I realized that it was my inside decision and not outside conditions that determined my success, I started focusing ferociously on what I could control. I thought that's a very interesting statement. I think most of us have been there at one time or another. Finally, he said, this is what I found out. It's the people, stupid. Now that's him talking to himself, as the catalyst of measurable and sustainable growth. He said, all organizations have goals and most have strategies. However, both are irrelevant if the right people aren't in place to execute them. He said, in fact, a great dream with the wrong team is a nightmare because bold goals pursued by mediocre people still result in mediocre results. He said, most organizations suffer from a reality gap, the chasm between the leader's forecast and the reality of his people's abilities render their goals as unrealistic from day one. Now, this is where you've heard the quote that Howard uses. If your dream is bigger than your team, you've got to give up the dream or grow up the team. And I would say if there's some team members that don't grow up, then you got to get some new team members, right? So he goes on to say that what a leader can control is who joins or leaves the team and how to develop those on board. Very, very important. In addition, he says, I can sum up my current team building strategy in 4 words, hire slow, fire fast. I think you all have heard that. He said, you've got to go from waiting to be hunted, people coming to you, to being a hunter. He said, personally, I can't think of a better way. Now listen to this very carefully. I can't think of a better way for a leader to invest his time than in finding great people for the team. And folks, I'm just going to interject something of my own here. Way back my second year as a manager, I realized this. I didn't have what we call the one thing today. I did have the thing that I learned from John Maxwell about the Pareto Principle. And I started out to find out what were the 2 most important things that I needed to focus on in my business. Well, I came up with this answer, cash flow. I found with cash flow, I had all types of opportunities to hire better people, pay them more money, build my business, expand new markets, marketing strategies, all kinds of things. But then I came to the conclusion after that, I said, well, where does my cash flow come from? And I said, well, it comes from my customers. And then I thought, well, who brings it in from the customers? And that was my sales team and my customer service team. And that's where I decided to make that my number one thing. And my business went from $750,000 to $2,200,000 in a period of 5.5 years. I like that kind of growth. So that was what I found out. I just wanted to share that with you. Now, here's what, again, Anderson says. To build a team of eagles, you have to get past one of the most pervasive cop-outs in business. There's a shortage of talented people where I live. He said, I deliver 150 speeches a year. And it doesn't matter, he said, whether I'm in Manhattan, Georgia, North Dakota, or wherever. Every time, he said, I speak, I hear this whimper. Everyone likes to think their situation is unique, that finding good people is an impossible task reserved especially for them. He says, folks, take notice. The Creator didn't suddenly stop churning out talented people. It's just that most talented people already have jobs, right? They're not pursuing the want ads or knocking on your door with hat in hand. So, this begs the question, what is your strategy for attracting passive job candidates into your workplace? Now, here's the thing that I love what he talks about. He says, eagles, that's your top people, are attracted to mountaintops, not to landfills. He said, now what do I mean by landfill symptoms? Poor training procedures, lack of feedback on performance. This is why the PRD and the performance reviews are so important. Promotions based on tenure and experience rather than results. Weak leadership. Tolerance of poor performers, no room to grow, and listen to this one, unclear vision, mission, and our core values. Where have we heard that before, right? And this is what he said, and I love, he says, eagles and turkeys don't eat the same food, all right? So if you're going to up your business, he said, you've got to make recruiting everyone's responsibility. And he goes on to talk about giving your people eagle calling cards. He uses them. He passes them out to people. He's got all kinds of things that you can do to make recruiting something major in your business and bring the right people into it. He said the only way you can hire eagles is if you talk to eagles. And then he goes on to give a ton of information, which I don't have time to share. But he says you need to get proactive. And what you have to stop or start to make your workplace environment to be the number one recruiting and retention tool you for eagles. Be specific and be bold. Get bonuses for employees that bring people in. Enhance your website to be a compelling recruiting presentation. Learn how to use your managers. Just on and on. The guy's got a tremendous amount of stuff that can help all of you. And lastly, I will say this. Or he says this, people are not your greatest asset. The right people are. The wrong people are your greatest catastrophe. Mediocre people are your greatest drain on resources. And he says, now once you find high potential candidates, your job isn't finished. It's just beginning. You must have an effective interview strategy in place that accurately assesses the people wanting to join your team. Now, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but he said creating and sticking to predetermined interview questions will help you to avoid a fatal flaw of interviewing, talking too much, letting the interview turn into a sales pitch. Your questions should revolve around past behaviors and performance. The key here is to determine what the candidate has actually done to get results in the past jobs. The interview itself should be a fact-finding mission, not a casual conversation. He says, what the candidate has ever done is the most important thing. He says, too often, shortly after hiring one of these apple of their eye, many leaders find that the gap between interview performance and job performance is a major gulf. So, with that in mind, I want to share a couple quick things before I get into my interview guide that Howard Partridge is very strong about, okay? And you probably have heard some of these, but I think we need to hear them again and again and again and again, right? Okay, Howard says, and this is, by the way, a lot of this material you can find in your application process, in your manual under leadership. He said, before interviewing someone, have them fill out an application. Isn't that a novel idea? He says, you can get employment applications from a variety of sources for your state. Now, here's something that Howard said that I think is very important. You need a system for this that doesn't require you to be involved. He says, it's the sales process. He says, I don't like to break the connection. Now, these are Howard. This is what Howard believes. If the person is desirable, other people are going to be after them too, so you need to act quickly on the interview process. Go slow, but this is setting the hook, so to speak. Once you bait the hook, you don't jerk too quickly or you'll yank the bait out of the mouth of the fish. You'll bring in the wrong fish, and then you'll damage the good fish. Those are L.A. words, Lower Alabama. Have a simple application procedure where any employee can give the applicant the required paperwork for your state, a copy of their driver's license, you know, and so on. If you don't have employees at your office, consider a verbal application or an online submission form. Check it often. And once they fill it out, then you have the drug screening authorization, etc. You can review the application to see if they qualify for the position. All right? Remember that acquiring an internal client is a marketing process. Same thing goes to whether you're trying to get clients or sales or employees. You have recruited them. This is the first call. Now you got to qualify them. What is their first impression of you? Howard says in his Phenomenal Operation Systems, people will make 11 assumptions about you in the first 30 seconds of meeting you. You want them to see you as the one and only person that they would work with, just like you would want your prospect to feel the same way. Be prepared, he said. Review the application. Have your questions ready. Don't be in a hurry. This is a very important event, as it's going to set the tone for the experience. And make sure your office is neat and organized. I think that's very, very important. He says, no one that you would want working for you wants to work for something that someone's untidy, unorganized. So if you don't have an office, Howard said, meet at Starbucks or somewhere like that. Then he said, observations. Was the candidate on time? Remember, you're going to see the best here. Then if that's not good, then you don't want to even talk to this person. How are they dressed? How are they groomed? You see any quirks? Handshake weak? All these little things we need to pick up on, folks. And here's where he said, ask open-ended questions. Avoid yes or no questions unless you are just confirming information. The idea is let them talk. As you just heard John Anderson say, Howard and I are saying the same thing. One of the biggest mistakes in interviewing and sales is talking too much. Listen, listen, listen. Listen to their response. Pay attention. See if they're making eye contact or not. Are they too cocky or whatever it is that you'll notice, all right? Now, there's a lot of questions. He said many programs that you can learn more about this. So he just gave a couple of questions here. I'm going to get into that in depth in just a minute. But he said, went on to say, if you want to hire this person, after the question and all the interviews, begin by effectively, and I love this, communicating your vision, your mission, your values, and your purpose. Now, one of the things that Howard believes in is a two-part agreement for people to work together, employer, employee. Part one is that we care about their dreams and goals. Howard said, this is what I say. Other companies may treat you like a number and devalue you as a human resource. We care about you as a person. We want to put you on a track to reach your goals and dreams. We've created a system where you can grow and you can pretty much write your own check. Part two of that agreement is that we can't provide that without reaching our company goals. A company has goals, a mission, and a purpose. We have systems that we operate by, and when you help us implement those systems and fulfill the mission, then we can all reach our goals and dreams. And then at this point, Howard says you go over the job description, which is the PRD, pay plan, benefits, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So those are some things from Dave Anderson. Those are some things from Howard. Now, let's talk about the actual interview packet now, all right? So, first of all, I want to thank our partners, before we get into that, from the Zig Ziglar Corporation and TMC, Total Merchant Concepts. That's Sherry Perry and her company. So if y'all are looking for someone to help your credit card processing, this is the lady, all right? And Scott at Reblaw for legal help and Infusionsoft, and I think most of you know about that, right? All right, getting the right person and keeping the right person. As I said before, hiring is one of the most important yet unprepared functions of management today. The cost of hiring the wrong person is costly, all right? It can cause unhappy customers. That's enough right there in itself. Lost sales, diminished credibility, low morale, broken momentum, compromised standards, misuse of resources, and more. The list goes on and on, all right? Now, as you look at this organizational chart, what's changed in the last year? What's changed in the last 2 years? What's changed in the last 3 years? How many hats are you still wearing? This is what brings on a lot of stress. And I know from coaching now for almost 2.5 years that I find a lot of leaders, owners, are really so tied up in running and becoming professional firefighters, taking care of this, putting out this fire, going here. I don't have time to recruit. I don't have time to do this. Well, what's the alternative? I think we have to make time for one of the most important things in a leader's life, and that is bringing in good people to build up that team. Because the number one leadership principle is that those closest to you will determine your success. You will go as far as your team can take you, as you heard Dave Anderson say. And 85% of his leader's success will come from the team that you have around you. Now, I want to talk about these here in a little bit, but let's just stay right here for a minute. Would you please open up your interview guide? All right? All of you, it was sent to you. It's your handout. I hope that you have it. If you don't, you're going to be a little bit lost. You can listen, and then you can go back and look at it if you want and listen to the replay because it will be up, okay? All right, so on the front page at the very top, you see where it says needs an interview guide, and it says needs analysis. Now, with that in mind, it says if you could design the perfect job for you, one that would enhance your strengths and downplay your weaknesses, what would it look like? Now, to the right of that, it says listen for. That's to help us to know what to listen for from that kind of a question. And then there's a little thing about circling plus or minus because there's some character charts over there if you want to use them. If you don't, that's fine. I used to like look for character in people. I found that people with good character, if I could teach them, if they had the basic fundamentals, I could teach them the rest. But I found that the people with strong character is the one who's always stayed with us. So I hope that that's something that you'll notice. So that's just a little bit of an example of what this whole interview guide is about for the interview process. Needs analysis. What do you need to listen for? And what are you finding out from the answer to their questions? And if you would interview them, please have a interview thing, a packet in your hand, or at least a pad, and make notes about what this person says, please. All right. Now, It goes on to say, now look below. We'll listen to the order of their responses. The first response will be their top priority. Challenge, explain your ideal job. Now, what do you want to listen for? See right there, it says listen for over the next column. Specific areas that we offer. If they're looking for something and you don't offer it, that's really not a good candidate, all right? Advancements, where do you want to be in 5 years? You're looking to see if this person really wants a career path, or they just want to make $10 an hour, or $20 an hour, or what else? Recognition, how important is recognition to you? You want to know that that person wants to be recognized for what they do as an individual, all right? If they don't, they're probably going to be just someone to, again, for a paycheck. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, all I want is someone that can go out and, you know, do this or do that. They don't have to be, you know, have a PhD. The better people you can hire, the better you're going to find that's going to be able to build your business. I've talked to a lot of folks lately in the inner circle, and they don't have anybody to replace them or to have be in a supervision or supervisor type position, because they hired pretty much people who just could do very fundamental things. You want to hire people that has a future, that can grow and take over maybe some of your responsibilities where you're not wearing all the hats on that organizational chart, okay? Then E, as you look at the word career there, E, earnings, what would be a satisfactory income opportunity to you? That answer is going to tell you a lot about that person. That doesn't mean you're going to give them what they're asking for. There's ways to handle that, and if you want to know how to do that, I'll be happy to share that with you. But you want people that want to grow, that want to make a good income. They're looking towards their future, and you want someone that wants a future and a career, not just a job. Enjoyment. What type of setting or situation would you find most enjoyable? Listen for the kind of people they want to work with. The things that you offer, then you can zero in on. Residence. Now, this may not be important. Maybe all your people are right there in your backyard. That's good. Sometimes people will come from another city or want a different area. And then security. Depict the job that would make you feel secure. What's going to make them feel stable? What kind of benefits do you offer, if any? All right. So a lot of this now, please listen carefully, will depend upon the position that you're interviewing for. All right. If you're looking for a manager or a supervisor, they're going to be looking for a little bit more than someone who's just going to be doing, you know, labor work. So keep that in mind. All right, let's go to the next page, please. I have listed here a lot of interview questions. And you'll notice at the top of the page, you see the word desire. Desire is a character trait. I want to know what people are looking for. And if they're not looking for the things that I'm interested in, then I've got the wrong candidate. Now, you'll need to decide by the position that you're interviewing for, really what kind of a person do I need here? But I would encourage you to try to hire the best people you can where they can grow and then maybe be a supervisor or a manager or something later down the road. I would encourage you to plan for growth where you can grow, because a business doesn't, there's not a lot, if they're either going forward or they're going backwards, there's not a lot in between. And I don't think going backwards is a choice we want to make. So to go forward, you're going to need a good, solid team around you. All right. With that in mind, Crystal, I can if we get a few minutes, okay? Be glad to do that. So number one is desire. Now, these are questions to help you find out what kind of desire does this person have. Describe your most notable achievement through high school. If they don't have any high school, I mean, that's up to you. I want someone with at least a high school education, depending on the kind of job it is. If they're going to have any kind of interface with your clients, or they have to go buy materials for you or whatever, you want someone that can communicate effectively with people, all right? This is an image that you're projecting in the community, but how they look, how they talk, how they act, how they dress. So all these things are important. And what you want to listen for there, now we're at the top of page 3. listen for a specific achievement that they personally achieved. Are they achievers? Have they always been able to accomplish things? Has this person had 5 jobs in, 5 years? That may be a red flag. You might want to check that out in depth, all right? Then, number two, tell me about your first job outside of your home that you earn income. Find out about their work ethic. This is what you're trying to find out here. Three, describe other work you do through high school. Again, you're just trying to find out what their work ethic is. Because most people, unfortunately, only hire people when they have the need. And basically, you're under the gun. And we end up hiring somebody, if we think if they can chew gum and walk at the same time, we give them a job. That doesn't work. I know. I've been there. All right. Number four, what is your highest level of education? You want to find out if they take pride in their education, if that is important, if they didn't quit school or college. All right. What was your GPA? I want to know if the guy's got something or the lady between their ears. Now, you may not be looking for that. I just happen to think it's important. Six, tell me about the type of work you did during college or even high school. All right. Again, all these first four, five questions basically is, what kind of work ethic does this person have? Now, why is this important? You're going to find out that past performance is a very strong indicator of future performance. Don't think that you can take somebody and change them. You're not. You can provide an environment where they can flourish if they're the type of person that wants to. But you're not going to change that person. Their past performance is going to be a strong indicator of their future performance. Then tell me about what kind of work, how much of your college education, if they happen to go to school. Again, this depends on the kind of person that you're looking for. All right, if you would now turn to page four. We're still under desire. Tell me about your achievements. All that is to find out what kind of ethic, desire people have to accomplish things. Now, if you'll notice, the next headline is character. All right. All these are character traits. Now we're actually talking about character itself. We want to find out if people are going to tell you the truth. They have too much pride. So there's a lot of things here that you will find when you're hiring people. If you get the good person, a person good with good character, that's the kind that's going to help you to build your company. So number one, tell me about your greatest disappointment in high school or college. You want to see what kind of accountability, the specifics they give you, if they're going to tell you the truth. Most people don't want to tell you about disappointments. They think they got to tell you about what they did that was successful. Folks, you and I know that all of us have had disappointments. That's part of growing up. That's part of the world. It's part of business. It's sure a part of being a leader. All right. Now ask them to describe your present job. See if they talk about positive more than negative. See if they give you specifics, for example. Three, tell me what you enjoy about your job or your last job. Again, positive statements. Number four, describe for me areas related to your work that you would have changed to improve it. Now you want to find out if they're looking for things that they can make better, not do they complain all the time. Elaborate on why you would consider making a change. If they're working, again, you may have to go and start recruiting people that got jobs. This is what we mean by networking, getting involved, going out and hunting for good people, all right? Hire them away from your competition. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? They may not be happy over there, and if you're the kind of company that can help people grow, provide a good culture, environment, they may want to work for you. That may be exactly what they're looking for. But then again, that goes back to what Howard said. They're also sizing you up. So what kind of a leader are you? What does your business look like? All these things are going to come into play in the interview. Then, elaborate on why you would consider making a change, as I just said, if they're working. Do they have a well-thought-out objectives? All right, let's go over to page five real quick. How do you define success? Are they looking to accomplish goals and grow, or they just want money? I'm not saying money is not important. Just as Zig Ziglar says, it's right up there with oxygen. But you want to find out if a person wants to grow and become something or somebody, not just to get a paycheck. Number seven, what have you invested in to help you improve and develop your skills and abilities? This was a very important question to me. I want to know if people have tried to grow on their own, or if they've at least attended seminars provided by other companies that they work for or something like that. What do they know? Just like Dave Anderson said, what have they accomplished? What kind of results have they gotten on other jobs? How is their performance? Number eight, describe to me your greatest achievement. Listen for specifics. Number nine, tell me about your biggest disappointment. All right? Again, back to the accountability. This is, you can answer this. By the way, you'll notice I'll ask sometimes the same question, forgive me, in a different way a lot of times. Then I'll have my staff members do the same thing. I never interviewed anyone just by myself. I had my top sales consultant. I would have my office manager or my manager of instruction. Now, I realize you may not have all those people, but you can have somebody else interview that person beside you. Men, I can tell you this, that women have these things called emotional antennas up there. They will see things in a man and a woman, particularly other women, that you'll never see. And they just know, and you want to get their feedback. So I had some, when I went through some interviewing for many, many years, that's why I always had Sue, who had been with me for like 13 years, or Sandra, or someone, one of my top performers, interview people with me, because they would pick up on things that I wouldn't pick up on. All right? And if I'm serious about hiring someone in what I consider a key position, I might want to have lunch or dinner with him and his wife, or her and her husband, all right, to find out how they look together, how, you know, just to get a good feeling if this is a pretty important position in your company. All right, now this next section is called sales ability. Now, I'm not going to go in a lot of depth here because this is about sales. I don't know how many of you have salespeople, particularly that go out and meet people. We did a lot of that. And they still do, by the way, in Dale Carnegie. We believe that where the computer and all that is good and the phone is good, nothing can build relationships unlike Facebook is face-to-face. And I still believe in that. That's how you get to know people and build strong relationships. So a lot of this may pertain to that. But questions like this you can even do over the phone. Tell me about your day yesterday. You want to find out what they do on a day-to-day basis. And by the way, you could ask the same question for any kind of job. You want to find out what's good for them, all right? Then what's a typical day? You want to find out what they do, how they spend their time. This could be even if it's inside sales. Number three, tell me how you go about generating business. Ooh, you think that's an important question? Let them tell you what they do specifically. And please remember that word specifically, because that should apply on just about every question that you ask. Number four, how did you decide how much you need to sell in a year? Did you set your own quota? Did the company set it? And if you got salespeople and you don't have quotas for them, you might want to rethink it. Otherwise, you're going to probably end up not having the people produce for you. I know just one example. Sherry Perry has a gentleman working for her, Joe Taylor. Who's her sales manager. This guy is sharp. He knows his stats. He's always looking at things. And the other day on the pod, he heard something, and it was like, bingo, a light went on. That's the kind of sales manager that Joe is. We want salespeople like that also that represent us, customer service representatives. All right, so number three, tell me how you go about generating business. Very important. Number four, how much do you decide to sell a year? Describe the type of person you call on. You see, you want to find out the level of this person. Who are they used to dealing with? There's a difference between talking to management and maybe talking to someone that just sells across-the-counter stuff, all right? Number six, tell me how many sales professionals there are at your office. I want to know how they rank. If somebody says, well, there was five sales consultants, or there were 10 or whatever. Also, where did you rank? And well, they may say, well, out of five, I was four. And I'll say, why were you four? What did you need to do to get to number one? What action did you take to make that happen? Folks, keep in mind, like Anderson said, this isn't a conversation. This is a fact-finding mission, all right? You're not interrogating, but you're being nice and professional, but you do want answers to your questions, all right? What are you doing different from those that sell less than you? You may say, I do more presentations, but you want to find out. All right, tell me about your strongest attributes in selling. You want to find out how confident is this person? What has he done to develop for herself, all right? No, if service is a weakness, that's a knockout factor, all right? All right, let's go to the next page. I want to know why they picked sales for a career. Now, to me, whether it's you, the leader, or the owner, I think that knowing the sales process is critical for every owner. Because without sales, you're going to be in trouble. You at least need to understand the sales process. You need to be able to talk to your other people and understand the importance of sales, how to present your product and services, how to provide great customer service. And by the way, I want to be teaching on customer service at the upcoming conference because that's something today I've been looking at the research. We are at a low, low tide on customer service. But that gives us an opportunity to go to the top of the pyramid, all right? And the view is a lot better from up there than it is down at the bottom. So we need to really focus on that because we got people who's going to be calling on your customers, and we don't want to lose them. It costs a lot more money to get a new one than to keep the one you got, right? So tell me how you overcome objections. Now, they may say, well, I do this and I do that. So here's what I always did. First of all, I would say, what did you sell in your sales position? They say, well, I sell such and such. I'd say, all right, what are three reasons why somebody should buy your product or service? I wanted to find out if they knew that. Then once they told me, I would say, okay, I'm your customer. Give me about a five-minute presentation here. And folks, you're going to find out whether you got somebody in front of you who knows anything about selling. Now, some of you may say, well, Rick, that's kind of hard. Hey, if you know your stuff, you know it. If you don't, you don't. All right? You looking for eagles or you looking for turkeys? And this is why I think salespeople, when you're looking at people to represent you and sell your product and service, which is going to bring in cash flow, you want somebody that's got it. All right? And if they don't got it, you help them get it. But you want to make sure that they are the type of person that wants to grow. They're going to learn. You're going to give them the training. You're either going to send them somewhere, because that's your cash flow valve right there is your sales team, all right? Okay, stability. Let's go to that one right there, Chair, in the shaded part again, right after the last number 11. Starts with number one again. Did you make more last year than any other year? Now you're still talking to salespeople, so those are some plans. You want to find out of what they've been making. Don't be ashamed to ask people what they made. If they made, $100,000 last year and you're offering $60,000, you're going to be in trouble. You need to know, and you can even explain to them, say, look, we have a starting salary plus bonus plus commission or whatever you have. And you want to be sure that that person knows that you have a budget set up for that. But you want to know what they're making. For example, if you're looking for someone and you know that you want a top flight person, and this person says, well, I made $32,000 last year. You want to know what they did and why they're only making that kind of money. That may eliminate them, or you might have a six sitting in front of you with the right environment and the right training. You can take them to an eight, maybe a nine. So this is why interviewing is absolutely critical for a leader, all right, knowing how to navigate through a good interview. All right, let's go down to the last section where it says leadership. Describe any leadership roles you've had. Number one, you want to find out if they've ever had any. All of you at some point or another, if you want to build your business, we're going to have to bring in people that can take on more responsibility. And this is why you're always going to be looking for people to do that. Keller, in his book, The One Thing, said that he looked to find the best five people that he could find. He wanted to be able to learn and do everything and build on them, and that's what he did. Now, he had to go through a few to get it, but that's what he did. So you always want to look for the best candidate that you can, folks, all right? Then, have you ever had any difficulty with anyone under your leadership if they did? Find out about they want to be a leader. Why? What is their definition of leadership? How do they believe that they should lead people? What are some of the things that they need to know? All right, and then also tell me about your leadership style. What would you do different if you were in their shoes? And et cetera, et cetera. Now, this desire chart is something I'll have to explain later on, but I check every time over those little areas over there in the shaded about character, stability. I want to know how many, you know, where they rank, and I just kind of put this together for a ranking type situation. So you don't have to do that, but you'll find that it helps. All right, now, real quick, turn to page 10 in your packet, and it says, reference check. I had everyone send in a resume to me. I did not take phone calls. You can't afford to do that unless you just got time to burn. I had my office manager go through those and weed out the ones she knew that we were not going to be interested in. And then she would bring me the other ones. And then I would go over them and determine who are the ones that I wanted to interview. Then I had someone call, not me, because I'm the guy out there dealing with my customers every day. I don't have time for that. So I would have them do a reference check. And basically, this is what they would do. They'd say, hello, my name is, I am the manager, I'm whatever position they hold or ever what you want them to say. I am interviewing a former employer of yours. I'd like to verify some information. And I would go down that. Number five, please comment on their strengths on this call dialogue. I look down here at number five. Please comment on their strengths and areas that could be improved. Every person should be able to answer that question. What I used to do is, hey, tell me about Joe's strengths. What did he do well? They'd tell me. And then I said, well, if you had him there again, what are some things you'd want him to improve on? How would you help him, and what are some things we could do to help him? Listen carefully, all right? What they're telling you now is things that might be the reasons he even left. But you want to dig in there. He's giving you now, when they answer that question, permission to do that. In fact, number nine says, if you were going to give us some advice to a manager in our company on how to help them, what would your advice be? And once they answer that, then I would say, any other things you can think of that you might feel important? I'm going to stretch it, folks. I'm going to ask for everything I can to find out everything I can about this person, because this is the person that I'm going to build my future on, hopefully. All right? But I want to make sure I get someone I can build on. I don't want a rock. I want a piece of, coal that you make diamonds out of. You can't make a diamond out of a stone. You need coal. So I want something I know has got potential that I can help develop. Okay, then if you look down there, that's more on sales. But you can design and change any of these to fit your business. Take some time to do it. I promise you, it'll be a great investment. All right? Become an authority, an expert on interviewing people. Now, if you look at page 11, excuse me, these are additional interview questions. Look at bullet number three. What will your references say about you? You want to ask them that question. Then you want to look and see what he said to you. Does it match up? Also, bullet number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Forget that. You're not going to get an honest answer a lot of time with that. Okay? But these are some additional interview questions. I would also suggest that you buy the book, Up Your Business by Dave Anderson. Now, I'll tell you, sometimes I like a book, but I want to say, in all honesty, this is one of the best books you can buy, because he's going to give you some great interviewing questions aside from what I have in here, because this is just some stuff that I put together when I was at Carnegie. I'm going to start updating, maybe even try some new things. But you're going to find that these are good questions. But you want to craft them to fit your business and your style. All right? But there's a lot of good questions. But you always want to ask, as Howard said, open-ended questions. That's very, very important. Open-ended questions. All right? There was a couple of questions that he had in his book, and I'm trying to find them here, but I don't know if I'm going to have time. But just buy the book. I promise you it'll be a good investment for you. All right? Now, after those additional questions, you've got the telephone screening process. Hello, this is. We're in the process of adding. We received your resume. I'm doing some initial screening. I'd like to ask you a few questions. Now, you've already done one time. Now you're going to talk to this guy or this lady. Because I don't want to bring in everybody to interview. I know are fit for our company. At least have the foundation, the potential to be an employee there. So I'm going to ask some good questions, knock them out, and see what they say. I might have someone else do this. I might pick out what I consider the best ones based on their resume, but I'm going to have someone else do a lot of it also. Now, if you're just a small company, you might have to do it. But designate an hour a day of your time to something like this, whether it's interviewing, calling the telephone screening process, checking out references. Folks, and by the way, I would have ask people to take the drug test. I was talking to one of our members, and they told me that, man, you'd be surprised how many people cannot pass the drug test today. Is that what you want on your team? So think about it. So you want to use that telephone screening process. So these are just some of the tools that you can use to be a very good interviewer. It's one of the best investments you will find that you can do, that you can develop in yourself as a leader. Now, I've tried to cover a lot in a short amount of time. Before I tell you about some announcements that are very important, please type in some of your questions, and we'll go from there. Okay, can everybody hear me? Someone said no audio. Can y'all hear me? Please type in if you can. Yes, all right, great, thank you. Good, thank you, Susan. All right, thank you, Matt. Okay, please type in your questions, and I will do my best to answer them with the time we have left. And while you're typing those in, I'll just share a couple of things real quick with you, all right? Number one, don't forget the conference. It's coming up May the 12th through the 14th here in Houston, Texas, DoubleTree Hotel, Hilton, right across from Hobby Airport. It's going to be a great conference, folks. Howard's going to be talking on a lot of different things, the proven systems. We're going to have a lot of great guests. Be sure you get your reservations in. That VIP package, Howard is offering a great VIP package. You got all the webinar series from John Maxwell. You got all the implementation stuff that he's done, so he's making a part of that. You get the lunches, the dinners, all that kind of good stuff. It saves you money, helps us to pay for some of this. So it's a win-win situation. So what's the one thing you can do to set your company apart? Be there, all right? Learn. Get educated. Go back. Teach it to your staff. That's how you grow. As Howard says, experiences are the most valuable currency there is. All right, very quickly, go ahead and keep typing those questions in and see if I can get to them real quick before our time runs out. Okay, let's see. How much time do you allow for the first interview? Good question, Scott. I tell the people when they come in, we're going to have a short, 30 to 45-minute interview. And the reason I do that, if I get somebody in there that I know that I'm not interested in, I don't want to spend 45 minutes with them. I want to make it about 25 or 30. I do want to be polite and courteous and professional. But I don't have time to waste. And what I basically tell them is say, look, we've got a lot of people to interview, which I'm sure that you're talking to a lot of companies. And we're going to look to see who has the skills and the knowledge and the experience that we that come close to what we're looking for, and we'll be in contact with you one way or the other. I always do write a letter. I already have it pre-typed. If we don't select someone, thanking them for their interest, for coming in, blah, 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 wishing them the best of luck, et cetera, et cetera. All right, good question, Scott. What should you ask if you see gaps in a resume? You highlight those and you ask the candidate, why are there gaps there? Ask them, say, I notice here there's a gap between such and such and such and such. Could you explain that to me? And they start to answer the question, just say, well, how do you mean? When you say, what does that mean? Again, you want facts, okay? You want facts. Brenda Sell, you said to invest an hour a day in the hiring process. Are you recommending this every day, even when you're not ready to hire? No, not when you're not hiring. But I will say this. Make looking for good candidates a priority. Howard talked about in last week's webinar, how do you find them? Network. Be valuable to everyone. Set up a referral reward. And you're going to find a ton of these things in the book by Dave Anderson. Always being positive around people. Maybe you want to get a card that you're looking for good people to grow with. Learn about people. And you don't have to hire people with a lot of experience if they've got the right skills and they fit the DISC profile of what you're looking for, all of that kind of stuff. Remember this, Howard said it, recruiting is a marketing process. So you're always looking. Now, if you've got to have someone, you got to spend the time to do it, folks, to get a good applicant, a good employee. So invest the time. It's a good investment. All right. Trying to prevent phone calls from applicant. How do you deal with the persistent caller? Well, first of all, if you've asked for resumes only and they continue to call, I would take that call and I would say, I'm sorry. We have requested very strongly on our application no phone calls. And I used to put that down there. We will call you. And you have already done something that we don't consider very professional, so therefore you're not considered anymore. Thank you very much. Click. All right? I'm serious. If a guy's going to bug you, he's maybe desperate or something, you don't want him anyhow. So now if they send you a letter or something, it's very professional, want to be considered, and here's why, that they think they're outstanding, then that's a little bit different. I may pick up the phone and call that guy. But you break the rules, you're going to pay. They'll break the rules there. They'll probably break them somewhere else down the line. Okay, how many interviews do you do total before hire? Scott, I used to do at least somewhere. I did two myself, and then I had one or two of my other employees do them. So we probably would do about three and four. Now, keep three or four good interviews. And if I was interviewing an office manager, if I was interviewing whatever the position was, I used to have people come in and just be with the person who does that kind of work. And I'd say, do you have 2 or 3 hours to come in and just kind of see what we do here in that kind of position? If it was sales, I'd let them go out on a sales call with one of my staff members. I like to do this up front if I got somebody that I'm interested in. And see how they react to it. See how much ambition and how much, you know, interest they have. So I wanted to know. So I would have usually around 4 interviews. And I also used a profile like DISC. That was one of the things that I looked at. Another thing is their track record, their past performance. What kind of results have they got? What kind of recommendations they get from past employers? How often do they jump around? What have they accomplished in their jobs? Those are the things I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a turkey. I want an eagle. As close to it as I can get. Now, they may be an eagle in the raw. They may only be a 5 or 6, but they're hungry. They want to learn. And I brought in some people like that. Turned out to be my best folks. All right. I would love to have your presentations. Oh, call the office if you want to, but you might want to study these a little bit first, okay? and I'll do everything I can to help if you want to do that, but I'll probably do them at a later one. Besides a drug test and reference check, do you do background or other checks? Yes. Drug test and reference checks. Do you do background or other checks? I wanted to know sometimes if it was a key position. Yeah, I would check out someone like Paul and find out, you know, we have different folks that do different things, Inner Circle, that can check those things out for you if they got criminal records or anything like that. I do that on key positions, but usually drug tests and things like that, I could find out pretty much what I was looking for after we go through our interview. And one thing I want to add to this, and we're not talking about this today, but whenever I brought people in, I had a very intensive training program set up. I wanted to find out what they're made of real quick, because I figure if they showed me then, I could depend on them. If they don't put their best foot forward in the beginning, they're sure not going to do it when you're not around and they're not wanting the job. So I would put a very intensive training program together for 6 weeks. Sometimes I would hire more people than I needed, because if I hired two or three and I needed one good one, I'd find out who it was. I'd eliminate them because they had to learn a lot. They had to study it. They had to give presentations on it. They had to know our products, our services, our policies, all those kinds of things. And the one that did their homework showed me that they had a good work ethic. They were serious. That's the one that got the, you know, I kept. In fact, I used to hire interview two people on every interview, and sometimes three if I needed one. If I needed two, I'd hire a minimum of, I'll get it right in a minute. I would hire three to get two, or five to get sometimes two or three. But I would get rid of the first ones in usually 4 weeks through that intensive training program. All right. And I didn't do all the training. I had some other people do parts of it. But again, my number one thing, as we talk today, my number one thing was recruiting, hiring, and developing staff members. That's what brought me the cash flow, which enabled me to do all the kind of things I needed to do in my business. Okay. One second here, Marvin. Oops. I went too far. I say the same thing. Okay, good. How much time do I invest in training someone part-time? If they're good at what they're going to be doing and you see real promise, I would invest any much time as you need. Now, if they don't catch on, obviously they're a little slow. But you want to make sure that you give them the training and the education that they need. You can't expect someone to perform a top level if you don't train them, all right? And training is a very good investment. How do we check their current references when they are still working for them? Here's what I say to that person. We're not going to jeopardize the job that you have, but we do want to check your references from the, you know, previous to that thoroughly. Then once you've been hired, we may call this gentleman or lady, whoever, to check out how you did there also. So we want you to know that, but we would not jeopardize your job that you currently have. All right? All right. Does the reference check take place between the telephone screening and the interview or after the interview? Once I see someone I'm really interested in and I'm checked out enough to know that I think I've got a good feel, then I'm going to start doing the reference checking or have somebody else do it. Let's see here. Wow, I got a ton of questions. One second here. I cannot find the packet on the website that you referenced this morning. Send a email to support at Howard Partridge to either Michelle or Victoria, and they can guide you to that. All right. Just tell us the hiring packet that Rick did at the conference. Hiring service technique text. Can I ask if they're on probation? Have to do with community service. I don't know about that one. You can check out their record by going through people who do those kind of checks. I don't know if you could ask that. I think you might need to ask a lawyer that one. That's something I'd be a little leery of right now until I checked it out. All right, let's see. All right, thank you, Sherry. There were two emails. All right. Okay, good. Somebody found. Do I hire smokers? Crystal, no, I do not. My insurance goes up when you hire smokers. And not only that, I think I'm sorry, and I don't mean to upset anybody that smokes, but if you're a non-smoker, number one, from a health, they miss more work. Number two, if you're around customers or even around other employees that don't smoke, it's uncomfortable for them. So I never hired smokers. That's just my personal preference. All right. Okay, folks, I think, just a minute. Yeah, and that's a call that you can make. Like Cherry said, I asked if they need smoking accommodations. I just didn't have it. My mother and father had great problems when they died due to smoking. As you know, back then it was pretty much a common thing. In fact, if you look in those old movies, everybody's got a cigarette in their hand, right? But we know the dangers of it today, and I know it's difficult to stop because some of my family members now still do it. But I did not do it in my business. That's a call that you would have to make as the owner. All right. Okay. Should we use the phone? When should we use the phone screening process? Once you get people, what I used to do is try to get me about four or five people that I had a real interest in. Now, I don't know about y'all. I mean, I used to have 40, 50 people. Of course, we had a name recognition, so I had to really have a thing to eliminate, the wheat from the chaff, so to speak. But therefore, I wanted to get narrowed down to about the best four or five, and then I would start that process. Unless I was really sure about something, had a great referral from somebody, I might start it a little bit sooner. Did you address the prospective employee? Do you address or just don't call them back? How honest about smoking is a disqualifier? I tell people when I interview them that we are a non-smoking organization. If we do hire someone, that they would have to do it outside the building, and that we would. And I said we have some, ground rules that we don't want to smoke around our clients, blah blah blah. But I just preferred if I had an option to choose somebody who didn't. Okay. Okay. Golly, man. Lots of questions. Thank you for your interest. I hope that you agree with me that this is one of the most important things that we can do because, again, our future of our company really depends on the people that we bring in around us. So I hope you'll take an interest in really becoming good at this. You can buy a book on interviewing. You're going to get a lot of good ideas from Dave Anderson's book, Up Your Business, if you buy that one. And as I said, he'll be at our conference in February. But there's a number of books on how to interview real well and some other ideas that I know will benefit you to help you to grow as you would expect your employees to grow. So good luck. God bless. Thank you so much for your interest, and look forward to having Howard back next Tuesday. See you all then. Bye-bye.